All right, we are live at Ralph's, Hawthorne Boulevard, Redondo Beach. The great Pepe Mantilla is hanging out.
And they're waving.
Everybody
back
waving
at,
to Pepe.
Unlike
wave
crypto,
to Pepe.
They're waving back at you.
They always wave.
They always wave, Pepe.
I wave, Pepe.
The other night, we scanned the entire crowd looking for somebody to wave, and there was nobody.
Next time, I'm there Wednesday. I'm going to coach everybody up in the front section to wave at Pepe.
Right. Well, you've got to get a picture of it when they do.
I'm going to.
And that'll silence it.
Let's go near the floor, Mace, and just wave to
Pepe.
All right, so Pepe, I'm glad you're here for this because I want to ask you guys your opinion of something that happened in the NBA over the weekend. So,
I know what you're going to talk about. This is terrible.
All right, so the Chicago Bulls had a Ring of Honor that they started this weekend, and on Saturday night they tried to bring everybody back. Phil Jackson was there,
BBO.
And so one of the honorees was Jerry Krause, who passed away in 2017. He was the GM of the Bulls, and he was hated when he was
there. Yes, he was.
Because he broke the team up, and he didn't have a very good disposition. Mace, he's still to this day the worst guest we've ever had.
Oh, I mean, we interviewed Jerry Krause. He stayed on speakerphone, and we were like, can you pick up the phone? He said no, and I said, we're done with you.
Then we hung up on him.
You won't even pick up the damn phone.
So Jerry was a bad guy, but his widow is a woman named Thelma, who is apparently very nice.
Yes.
So they do the Ring of Honor in Chicago. And they introduce all these people. They introduce Phil Jackson.
Yep.
They introduce, you know, these other people. Steve Kerr was there.
Mm-hmm.
And they introduce, they say, representing the Krause family, Thelma Krause. And the crowd boos the crap out of her.
So
it
classless.
Was so awkward.
Classless.
And so Stacey King, who played on those teams, follow me on this, Brian. Stacey King was doing the game. He's a color analyst. He's Stu Lance for the Bulls. And Stacey was dumbfounded, and he let his own fans have it. Here's Stacey King.
Right, we just had a remarkable ceremony bringing back the legends, and I'm telling you what, you know, Chicago is a sports town. And what we witnessed today, when Jerry Krause's name was called, and the people that booed Jerry Krause and his widow, who was accepting this honor for him, it was the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. I hurt for that lady, brought her to tears, and whoever booed her in this arena should be ashamed of themselves.
All right, so here's my question, Pepe and Mace and everybody. Everyone's killing these Bulls fans who booed.
Sure.
Jerry Krause has been booed openly for 30 years in Chicago.
Yeah.
I blame the Bulls for putting Thelma in that position. Who in the Bulls front office thought it was a good idea to
have
put
her
as
a representative
out there and
do
that to her? Pepe, what do you see my point, or do you is it all the fans' fault?
No. Shame on the fans.
Yes.
Shame on the fans.
Yes.
It's an old lady, and she was in tears. That's not right.
I agree with you.
Don't. It's
but
right.
I think they
shame
put,
on the
Mace,
fans.
Would you put her in that spot?
I would expect fans to cheer an old lady.
I can't
believe fans booed an old lady. Would anybody here boo an old lady? You don't boo an old lady.
No, but it was they used to boo Jerry Krause in person.
Right, but this is Mrs. Krause.
She didn't break up the team.
I was
agree with you. But Thelma doesn't take the fall for what Krause did. Put a picture of Jerry Krause up on the scoreboard.
Oh, then they're
let
boo.
The fans boo.
Yeah.
And spare her from this incredibly heartbreaking moment.
Yeah, so
I just
so
thought
sad.
They put her in a terrible position.
Yeah. In retrospect,
I remember a few years ago, the Lakers were on. It was one of the years, Pepe, when the Lakers were bad. And that six-year stretch that, you know, the Lakers had losing records for 6 years. And they were bringing back the Showtime Lakers to honor them for something. And one of the people that was on those Showtime Lakers teams was Mitch Kupchak. And I said to my friends who were running the Lakers, I said, you better have a plan, because if you introduce Mitch to this crowd when we've gone through four straight losing seasons,
well, Stephen Jones,
it is going to be incredibly awkward. And they said, well, we can't leave him out. He was on the team and he works for us.
Sure.
And they did something brilliant. They bring out Kareem.
Okay, sure. Cheers.
Okay. Place going crazy.
Yep.
They quickly pivot to Mitch, and before anyone can get to boot, they go to Magic.
Oh, nice.
It was like when the Padres...
The speed intro.
When the Padres had the fire sale back in the day, and they put a team out there of nine players. So when they introduced them, the Chargers had gone to the Super Bowl the year before. So they said, introducing your 1993 San Diego Padres, playing left field with Junior Seau. It's Phil Plantier.
Yep, yep.
And Junior Seau and Phil Plantier ran out to
you
left field.
You couldn't boo the Chargers.
And you couldn't boo Seau.
Because wait a minute, because they had just gone to the Super
correct.
Bowl, right?
94, whatever
yeah,
it was.
94.
Besides, Kupchak was a very good general manager.
But you know what I'm saying?
Not at the end.
This was a couple years before he got fired, and Mitch is a good guy, and I know him well.
They went through, six, 7 years that were rough?
Six. Six losing seasons. And I thought, hey, why put Mitch in that position? But they came up with a plan.
Yeah, that was it.
Chicago,
was
the good. Bulls, Pepe, had no plan, and they put her in that incredibly awkward position. I felt terrible for her. I think you're right, those fans should be ashamed. But let's treat these things for what they are. You know the name Jerry Krause is going to elicit boos. You know it. And why would you do that to her?
But don't you trust your fans to not boo an old lady?
No.
I would. I would say
that's
nobody's going to boo a little old lady.
We have the best fans.
Yes.
The Lakers fans. Isn't that right?
It just seemed incredibly mean to her to do
that. It was very sad. It was very sad.
And so anybody who's been in the public sphere of sports knows that there are certain names that if you mention,
yep,
here come the boos.
Fonts.
Yeah,
Krause.
Like Cedric Maxwell, if he walks into our building, he's getting booed.
Yeah, yeah.
Mr. Celtic.
Even Jared Goff, Matt Stafford got booed yesterday in Detroit.
Right. So I think
that was suspect.
The Bulls,
yeah.
The Bulls execs are all blaming the fans. Take some blame for yourself, you guys. You put her in that incredibly awkward position. Yeah. I thought it was brutal.
So Pepe, you made it out to.
Michael wouldn't come.
Our BBGO event?
Michael wouldn't come because he's lazy, number one. But he said, I'm worried about getting to the game on time. Are you worried about getting to the game on time?
No, I think
we have 3.5 hours. We'll make it, right?
Yeah. All right, see, I got a different answer. When I talked to Michael yesterday, it wasn't because he wasn't worried about the game. It's because he was watching, he was babysitting.
Oh, he was watching Roman?
Oh, he's babysitting?
He was watching Roman. So
there's also an NFL game on right
yeah, there
now.
Is a game on.
You want an update to that game?
Is there a score?
So George Pickens just had a catch and a fumble on about the Buffalo, their own 31-yard line. The very next play, touchdown, Dalton Kincaid is a 14-0 lead, Buffalo over Pittsburgh.
Well, there goes my 10-point spread for the mythical Mike.
By the way, I thought it's 14-0. Thought the Bulls Bills were going to blow them out all along. Yeah. I picked that on Friday. By the way,
I thought it was so cold that they weren't going to be a lot of points.
Yeah.
You have our picks. I think I went 2-for-2. I went 2-2 over the weekend.
Let's see. You went 2-1.
There were four games.
Yeah, 2-1. No, there were three games.
There was four games over the weekend.
There's two yesterday and two today.
Yeah.
Okay.
There was two Saturday, two Sunday, and now the 2 day.
Okay.
Right.
Six.
So you hit on Houston, you hit on Kansas City, you missed on Dallas. So
and I missed on the Rams.
And you missed on the Rams.
Yeah. I took Denver.
I'm 3-1. 3-1 against the spread.
Did you take Detroit?
I took Detroit.
Yeah.
But you lose because of the points?
Points, yeah.
Picking against the spread?
Against the spread, yeah. Oh.
Yeah. We put a 5,000. By the way, I won $10,000 mythical dollars on the Rams. I don't even think I won it.
I'll take it.
I don't even.
Can we split it amongst ourselves?
Sure, split. I don't care. No. I don't want any part.
No, you get it. You get it.
So who's going to win between Green Bay and San Francisco?
Go Pack! I'll tell you what, Jordan Love is playing really well. Losing.
And remember when you said that Jordan Love wasn't a good quarterback? Remember
I don't
told
remember
you that.
You have tape?
I told you
Do you
that.
Have tape? Can you find that? Because I remember saying it's all
Brian.
Jordan
can you get it?
Love is a good
this
quarterback.
This is an inaccurate quote of me.
The
inaccurate quote of me.
No.
Yes.
It's there. It's there.
Probably at some point
clearly.
I said it. Yeah.
There's nobody around that listens to the station more than Pepe. I trust
that
Pepe.
That is true. Pepe is the ultimate P1. The ultimate P1.
By the way, the P1's here. There's
a lot of P1's here. Yeah.
And members of the Circle of Trust
came
here.
There are a couple of them that are going to Yamaha.
Yeah, there's some from the Circle of Trust that came here to hang out, and then they're going to drive out to Yamaha.
That's crazy.
Don and Cap.
Yeah, we got the big double show today.
Crypto Ray was here. He just left.
Yeah, Crypto Ray was here.
Yep, they're going to Yamaha.
Nice.
See Sedano and Cap.
Yes. Yeah. Everybody's. Have we given away a pair of Laker tickets yet this hour?
Not this hour, but it's coming up soon.
Oh, and if you guys want to win Laker tickets, just walk up to the front here. Make sure you scan your phone on this thing and fill it out, and you're qualified to win Laker tickets. And at some point, we're giving away courtside seats. That's the promotion, Mace, where you go in and you buy, and they have tons of it in there. You buy $10 worth of BBGO, take a picture of your receipt, send it to Lakers.com/BBGO sweeps, and somebody. before February 6th is going to be awarded a pair of courtside Lakers.
That's nice.
And by the way, this bibigo that we're eating today
is it's unbelievable.
These dumplings and these wontons, fantastic. Bibigo is just a great, great product. All right, Pepe, you're going to hang out?
Of
course. Cool. Excellent. I got a question about...
I just came to say hi to you all the way from Orange County. What kind of a question is that?
Okay, Pepe.
Pay attention.
Ease off. By the way, I always said Jared, love was good. All right. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. Hey, if you're injured in an accident over the weekend and you are trying to figure out how to handle it, here is your to-do list for today. First of all, call the rental car company. Second, wait to receive a call from the insurance company, and then when you talk to them, make sure not to say anything that's going to screw up your case. Third, you call for a doctor's appointment, but they can't see you for a week. They would be referring you to a specialist. Why would you do all this yourself? Make it easy. If you're injured in an accident, immediately call my friend Jacob. Jacob and his team will handle everything for you. That's right. They'll make sure you got a rental car. They'll talk to the insurance company. And most importantly, they'll get you set up with that doctor, that specialist, so you can start the healing process and get your health back in order. And you don't pay a penny out of pocket unless Jacob wins. A lot of attorneys say they'll fight for you. Call Jacob. He'll win for you. 844-24-JACOB. That's 844-24-JACOB. 844-24-JACOB. Or remember,
accident or injury, call Jacob and Ronnie. Call Jacob.
Call Jacob.com. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ralph's in Redondo Beach with Bibigo.
The Bibigo truck. Bergman and I are on sampler plate number two.
Yes,
this
delicious.
Is two of seven.
Yeah, we're going to. Well, Greg, I don't know how long it's going to. The Emmys are tonight.
Oh, that's
across
right.
The street. So Pepe and I, when we leave here, are going to have to navigate all those street closures when we get in there. So I'm going to eat.
Dinner.
Yeah, this is lunch and dinner. I am Greg. I think if we each eat 14 total sampler plates, I'll be good for the rest of the night.
I love it.
There you
I'm
go.
I'm gonna be good for the rest of the night too, because then I can I have Bibigo at home that I was gonna make, but this will do me just.
By the way, thanks to everybody at Ralph's too.
Yeah,
Ralph's hosting us, and a little bit earlier today we did a bag off, and I mentioned there are certain parts of me that are genius. One of them is my ability to bag groceries. I am a real bagger. I used to work at Kelly's IGA in Maumee, Ohio, and I had an off day. Did I have an off day today?
All I know is I was challenged. Whenever we compete in anything, Mason never beats me. But I actually thought I would lose today because he claims he has a background as a bagger.
Yeah.
Pepe, I smoked him.
I believe so.
Yeah. And not only did John
smoke you
him.
You know what? You said you're a genius. You forgot to say that you're very humble.
I am humble. Yeah. Oh, I'm also I'm one of the humblest people around.
Yeah, and a genius too.
And a genius. Hey, both.
During that break.
The humble genius.
Can we talk about the Lakers for a second?
Yeah, let's talk.
During that break. Yep. Well, so Saturday night I was in Utah.
Yep.
And the Lakers lost, but LeBron didn't play. They actually played pretty well.
Yeah. AD just had a really bad night.
But I came to a conclusion. I want to see D'Angelo Russell and Austin Reeves out there together more.
That's a good idea.
They play. I mean, I know in the beginning of the year they started and we lost some games. And then D. Fish was talking earlier about how Darvin's trying to build a defensive identity. So he plays guys like Reddish and Vanderbilt a little bit more, starts them occasionally, trying to get that defense up there. Pepe, I get it. I understand it. Reeves and Russell are too good. They're our best. When they're out there together, they're friends. They like each other. They look for each other. And, Mace, you had a good suggestion.
Yeah. Rui.
Put Rui out there. Put LeBron, AD, Rui.
D'Angelo, and Austin.
And then when you fall behind defensively or you're struggling defensively, that's when you go to Vanderbilt and Reddish. Reddish is actually going to be out for a little while.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Yeah, he's got an injury, but that's when you can pivot to defense.
I don't agree.
Oh, okay, good.
Tell me why.
No, I don't agree because you need somebody to come from the bench, that, like Rui, for instance,
okay,
and can break whatever.
So would you start Torian Prince?
Yeah.
Who's good?
Yeah.
By the way, last year the starting lineup in the playoffs was D'Angelo, Austin, Vanderbilt, AD, and LeBron. I don't know what's wrong with that lineup. You got one defensive minded guy.
Well, let me get this in there.
Russell is
now questionable for tonight's game.
Oh, okay.
Because he's got a non-COVID illness, which is too bad because, as Pepe and I were just talking about during that break, that was Russell's best game of the year.
Sure, 39
probably
points.
Probably his best game since he came back to the Lakers.
He couldn't miss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
by the way, you reacted to my suggestion of Vanderbilt with those guys. What did you think?
Well, Vanderbilt is not having a good year.
He's not, but he is. He does play defense. You got
he's fighting through a heel thing.
He plays defense when he's 100%. I don't think he's 100%.
Rui and score a bunch of points.
He's not playing the defense that we want.
Well, yeah. If you look at the game.
By the way, can I just say the Lakers are 14th in defensive rating. They're 23rd in offensive rating.
So we need to address the offense. And guys, the league has pivoted to more scoring.
Of course.
Teams are just out. I mean, there was a game last night between Milwaukee and Sacramento that did not go overtime, and the final score was 143-142. That's the way the league is going. Pepe, you have to be able to put points on the board, and I think Austin and D'Lo in the backcourt give us our best chance to
do that. I agree on that. I have no problem with that.
I hope D'Lo feels better and he can play tonight, because here comes Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and the Thunder,
yeah,
who are really
and by the way,
really
Luke on
good.
Wednesday.
On the center.
By the way, do people know?
Oh, yeah.
Do people know that Wednesday's game is an ABC
5:30? Do you know why?
Yeah, ABC picked it up and they're running it in prime time around the whole country.
So at 5:30, it's just so
early
in LA. 5:30
for us.
5:30 for us.
8:30 for East Coast.
8:30, yeah.
And so that's why they're doing it. And by the way, those games will still be on Spectrum Sportsnet. Actually, there may be a blackout with some of these games, so you can only watch it on Spectrum Sportsnet. But try them both, and you'll be able to find it.
By the way, Woj reported over the weekend that the Lakers at least have engaged in talks with Atlanta over DeJounte Murray.
I love it.
I love it too.
Because, again, I don't know what they'd have to give up, but Pepe, it's the league has pivoted towards offense. Steve Kerr was complaining about it about a month ago, and he's right. The rules now favor teams that can score. And if you can't put 120, 130, sometimes 140 points on the board, you're not going to win. So we need to put guys out there who can fill it up. And DeJounte Murray can fill it up.
And he's a good defender, too.
He is a plus defender, yeah.
Yeah.
So you get a little of both.
Steals 1 year.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I think that makes sense. There are some other names out there. I mentioned on Friday, Luke Kennard is in Memphis right now. He would be an interesting guy to acquire.
John was talking about
that. Yeah,
okay. So here's the interesting thing about Memphis.
Yeah.
So Ja Morant out for the year. All right. Marcus Smart
is out.
Out for 6 weeks.
Yep.
Did you see yesterday? Desmond Bane now out for 6 weeks.
Ooh.
They're gonna have to tank. I mean, they're not going anywhere without those guys. And Luke Kennard is gonna be out there and available to somebody because he's on an expiring contract. Same thing with Doug McDermott in San Antonio.
That's another
These are guys who can who can fill it up from three. And I think Rob will do something. I don't know what it'll be, but I think he has, since Rob's been the GM, he's made a move at the trade deadline every year. So I think that we're going to get some.
So you talk about offense. This is one of the problems with the Lakers. They are last in 3 points attempted. Dead last. They take fewer three-pointers than any team in the league. Now, how do you keep up offensively when you're trading twos for threes?
So I asked one of the assistant coaches in Salt Lake City.
Mm-hmm.
I said, hey, what if we changed our defense? So instead of what the Lakers are very good at because of Anthony Davis is protecting the rim.
Right.
Like they don't give up a lot of layups and dunks. What they do give up is a lot of threes. I said, what if we flipped that? We made our defense, we took away the three,
mm-hmm.
and we're soft at the rim.
Right.
In other words, we concentrated on taking away a three-pointer. And he said, you can do it, but you can't do it for a whole game. And I didn't think about this, and he's right. He said, here's why. He goes, if we send our guards out to take away the threes and we tell our forwards. Don't switch on picks. Just take care of the guy shooting the three. Then they're going to go right to the rim, and Anthony Davis is going to be waiting there for him. AD would have three fouls in the first quarter. He said, and if he fouls out, we're dead.
Right.
And I understand that.
Sure.
But I'd like to see that as part of their arsenal. Have a defense that they can flip to where we say, all right, in this next stretch of 5 minutes, we're not letting you guys shoot any threes, just to see what happens. Or maybe when AD's out of the game,
right,
you have Christian Wood or Jackson Hayes in there. Because if Christian Wood or Jackson Hayes fouls out, it's not the same effect that if AD fouls.
Sure.
But I'd love to see them, because of what you brought up, I'd love to see them. They're not going to be able overnight to make more threes. But the other team, Pepe, they can take away some threes. What do you think?
Sometimes they can do it, not tonight, because tonight they have to protect the rim.
Yes.
They have Shea and they have I forgot the name of the rookie.
Chet Holmgren.
He's fantastic.
Yeah.
But Chet Holmgren shoots 40% from three.
I know, but I mean, if he's so big, he goes to the rim, what is easier? To score when you're close to the basket or when you're far away from the basket?
Let me think that over.
But Pepe, here's the problem.
You're right.
We had at the start of the month of January, we lost to Miami, and we were minus 36 from three. They made 12 more threes than we did. Then we lost to Memphis 2 days later, and we were minus 39. And they made 13 more threes than we did. You can't be minus 36 and
right.
minus
Forget
39.
It. And by the way, if you are, you cannot turn the ball over as much as the Lakers turn the ball over. They give up so many points off turnovers. It's ridiculous.
To me,
game
that's
after
the
game.
Key. To me, that's the key.
Yeah.
Every game, when I see the turnovers and the points, I said, they're not
going to
win.
Points off turnovers, so they're getting clocked every game.
Yeah, so what you look at the turnovers and the points. Thank you, Cody. You look at the turnovers and the points. What I look at is the three-point line. I go, who won the battle at the three-point line? And normally that tells you who wins the game.
Yeah.
But they've got to find a way, Mace, to make that disparity smaller.
Yeah.
Either
shoot
more threes and make them, or take them away from the other team.
Or get somebody who shoots better at
That's
three.
What I think might happen.
Yeah, I think so too.
But
what is the key to win a game in the NBA? Defense. If you have good defense, you're going to win the game every time.
Right, but it's hard now because the league is pivoted towards scoring.
Yeah, that's true too.
You know, but it'll be interesting to see. Like tonight, it's going to be really hard to win, especially if D'Angelo Russell doesn't play, and he's been downgraded to questionable with a non-COVID illness. But Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, you guys, is so good. He might win the MVP.
Mm.
You look at him, Pepe. He leads the league in steals. He's third in the NBA in scoring. He averages 31 points a game. And he shoots 50% from the field and 40% from three. He just doesn't have a weakness.
I think he's the best point guard right now. Even better than Curry.
He was first team All-NBA last year, and this year he's having a better year than last year. So it's going to be a chance for Laker fans to see him up close and personal tonight. If LeBron plays, we can beat him.
Right.
But let's see if LeBron
plays. So we talked a lot about the month of January because they have so many home games. They're now 2-4 in the month of January. Next six games at Crypto. I mean, these are huge games. A couple of them, I mean, OKC tonight is tough, Dallas. But then you got Brooklyn, Portland. And the Bulls, part of that six-game stretch. There's also a game with the Clippers. But, I mean, they got to start winning games. They got to start putting wins in the bank.
Right, because at the end of the month.
They're the 11 right now.
Yeah, at the end of the month, on January 26th, we leave on the Grammy trip.
Right.
And we're gone
for six games.
And it's all back east.
Yeah.
Boston's on that trip. The Knicks are on that trip. Those are two teams that have already beaten us.
Yeah.
So it is it's imperative. You're right, Mace. In these six games, they've got to come at them with a winning record. Even 4-2 would be okay, but you can't go like 1-5.
No, you cannot.
Yeah,
it would
kill you.
All right, coming up next. Remember that plane that got the door blown off?
Yeah.
Okay. I got a question for you guys about that. Fascinating how Alaskan Airlines handled it. We'll do that coming up next. We are live at Ralph's in Redondo Beach, courtesy of DBGO, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
That's the best one.
I hate that one.
It's so out of context, and it's just absolutely true.
We want to congratulate Justin Chow from Anaheim, who's won a pair of Lakers tickets. We're out at Ralph's. We're going to be giving away a pair of Lakers tickets every single hour.
There he is.
Way to go, Justin.
Congratulations, man.
Nice job.
And we should say Bibigo does such a great job. Such good food, man. We've killed a bunch of dumplings
and
here today.
By the way, they have like the world's greatest food truck. If you guys haven't gone and sampled the food truck, you got to go over there. Thank you, guys. It's absolutely fantastic.
By the way, it's also Fifth Row Fridays this week,
yes.
Which means something we say today will be on the Friday quiz, something from each show this week. If you can figure out and answer those questions, Friday at 3:30, Fifth Row seats to see the Lakers coming up. And by the way, you got to answer them correctly. Oh, for God's sake. Do we really have to say that?
Yeah,
oh
you my do. God.
Yes, does anybody?
Yes, you do. You do.
You yes, you do.
Oh, my
yes,
God.
You do.
Why do you have to say that?
Oh, God.
I was listening and you
oh,
you do.
Oh, my God.
It's in the rules.
Lawyers
in the rules,
suck.
It does say
lawyers are the worst.
Say it correctly. No, John, so basically what happened?
Somebody mispronounced something?
No. We
I said if you can answer all five questions, the three, blah, blah, blah. And he said, I didn't say correctly. It's like in the lawyer.
You think we're going to reward him if they give the wrong answer? What's wrong with you, Berkman?
It wasn't me. He answered the first question, and then he said, I'm going to answer all the rest of them on puppies.
Puppies.
Oh, because he was trying to catch it.
He was just giving answers.
Yeah,
if you go to the station website, you'll see there are contest rules.
We have rules. We have contest rules, and they're very, very strict. So, yes, you do have to answer them.
That friggin' dude does not get the loophole.
But they have to be... Correct.
Correct, yes.
By the way, your brain, say correctly.
Fifth Row Friday is brought to you by Bibigo, your official game day snack of the Los Angeles Lakers. It is game day. The Lakers are at Crypto tonight versus Oklahoma City, and both John and Michael will be doing the game, along with Pepe doing the game.
Samuel was sick the other night. Is he coming back tonight?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so we talked about that plane that the door blew off of, right? Okay. The people on that plane, how do you think Alaskan Airlines handled that with the other people? Again, nobody got hurt, but how do you think they handled it with the other people on the plane? What did they get?
If it were me, everybody in the plane gets 2 round-trip tickets anywhere we fly. $1,500. Was that it?
$1,500.
That's it?
Sorry, your life
tickets
was
for life.
At risk.
Wow.
$1,500 was all they got.
That's like when they lost that guy's dog and they didn't give him anything.
Oh, and they gave him nothing. Exactly.
Didn't $1,500 for that, too? It was like they
it was. It was a Super Bowl number
Alaska.
For that.
I think it was a different airline.
It was a different airline.
So,
what
do you think the people are going to do? Some of the people are going to be.
I think they're going to call the guy that tried to catch me on that loophole in the game and they're going to get him up. Right?
Yeah.
Somebody's getting a lawyer.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
Laura has a 2-word message on this subject.
What is it?
Airlines suck.
Airlines do suck. Let's face it. I don't know which one is good anymore.
Delta.
Delta's good?
Oh, yeah. Delta's the one that lost the dog.
Delta's the way you want to go.
Hawaiian Airlines was always nice when I went back and forth to Hawaii.
Hawaiian is nice, yeah.
Delta's
great because of the flight attendants. Delta's flight – like that. Those are our Laker flight attendants. They all work for Delta. They're
awesome.
Yeah,
but you've got Lakers flight attendants. What about rank and file flight attendants?
No, they're regular flight attendants that sign up for the charters. So you could get one of them on your next Delta flight.
I mean, they're on a charter.
Yeah,
right.
Delta generally is
you got to be nice on a charter, don't you?
Yeah, I think it's a job.
People tend to be more demanding on a charter because they think they're going to get what they
correct.
Want.
Correct.
These people are awesome.
I get all my miles on United. I'll tell you what, they suck.
Well,
they just
that's absolutely been the
worst.
Yeah, that's been the book on United for a while.
So, Mace, why don't you change?
Because I have all these miles on the United, so I got to fly United because I can't
get bumped up. And
then you get bumped up and all that stuff. But
well, use the miles and then start changing now.
Okay, thank you. I will do that.
Please.
Hey.
Good call. Good call.
And do it correctly.
Yes, correctly.
If
that's
Jerry
the key.
Jones is going to fire Mike McCarthy.
Why hasn't it happened yet?
Doesn't he have to do it relatively soon?
Probably.
I would think so. I mean, like Jim Harbaugh interviewed with the Chargers today.
Well, he talked after Jerry Jones talked yesterday, and he's like, I don't even want to talk about this right now. I'm not going to comment on Mike McCarthy or his job security. I'm just shocked.
Well, you don't fire him in the postgame press conference.
I mean, he could have. What's the difference? I mean,
you do things in a very professional way.
They've got to do it today, tomorrow, this week specifically.
Sure,
but why? Why? He had a really good season.
Pepe.
Oh, no.
Three years, one and done. Come on, Pepe.
What's important, Pepe? Is it the regular season or the postseason? What's the most important?
They blew it yesterday.
Yes, they blew it the last three years.
Why? Tell me why. I did the game.
You think?
Tell me why.
You did the game? Was it Dak?
Tell you why
because
they should fire.
They kept on sending CeeDee Lamb They were listening.
That's
they
number one
never
receiver.
Used the other. Yeah, but they should have used the other receivers. When they used the other receivers, Ferguson and Cooks and everybody, they started working.
Yeah, when Matthew Stafford needed a big play, he went to Puka Nacua. I mean, when you need a big play, you go to your star receiver.
But you have other receivers that are good. You have more than one receiver
right.
that is good.
Now, the one thing I'll say about that game, I was watching Get Up this morning, and one of the analysts, I forget, it might have been Rex Ryan, said every Cowboy lost every one-on-one matchup the entire game. That was his take. They just didn't show up.
Josh Allen, 52-yard touchdown run, 21.
21-0. Did you lay the points?
Yeah, I took the points.
Yeah.
I'm really only down. It's 21-0. I'm only really down 11-0.
True. You're only down 11-0.
10.5
So you
points.
Think they're going to come back?
No.
I don't.
I do not.
But they cover.
You know what's interesting about this game? Mike Tomlin was sending out weird signals earlier in the week that he said something like, I'll reevaluate my coaching situation after the season's over.
Is he under contract?
Yeah. And now he's thinking about leaving.
Because he would get hired immediately.
He says he's going to weigh his options after the season's over, which is going to be in about an hour and a half.
Well, it's coming up. Thing with Mike McCarthy. Look, if you get blown out in this game, what are you supposed to say?
I agree with you. Tomlin is free. I mean,
right away. The other guy, by the way, the second pick.
This may be the weirdest NFL coaching cycle ever.
Yeah.
Think about it. There could be 9 or 10 new coaches next year.
The second pick, by the way, for both the Chargers and the Cowboys is Mike Vrabel, who I think
solid.
Is a really good, solid pick.
Yeah.
Solid. If you don't get Harbaugh, Vrabel I like.
If I'm Jerry Jones, I'd rather have Vrabel than McCarthy.
Yeah, me too.
John, what do you think of
Gerard? I'd rather Pete Carroll than McCarthy.
Wait. I'm glad you brought this up, Greg. Yeah. I don't understand what the Patriots are doing.
I don't either.
All right, so think about this. Every Patriot assistant, all of them, that have gone on to receive head coaching jobs have been awful. I mean, awful. It's not just Josh McDaniels. It's every single one of them.
Matt Patricia.
I mean, yeah. I don't know how in the world anybody
Bill O'Brien
can look at the Patriots job and say, hey, let's hire a Bill Belichick assistant.
Okay.
So why would you hire Gerard Mayo?
Okay, so here's why I think it's different. He's 37 years old.
Okay.
Been there 3 years.
Right. You're describing Josh McDaniels to this point.
Oh, no, Josh McDaniels was there how long?
Well, Josh McDaniels.
A long time.
Right.
All right. He's been there. This guy's been there 3 years. The other thing, and, you know, there are 3 African-American head coaches in the NFL right now. Here's an opportunity for an African-American coach to get a head coaching job. I'm in favor of that. And, by the way, I'm in favor of Antonio Pierce getting the Raiders job, too.
There's Sasha. All right.
Hey!
So, just give him that headset, Pepe, and we'll circle you back in. But, I mean, Brian Flores, African-American, didn't work.
Well, that's not because he was African-American.
No, but I'm saying if you brought up the fact that you liked the fact that African-American.
Yeah.
3 of the assistants that have gone on to try it were African-American, and they weren't any good.
Okay.
It's the common denominator. Is that,
hey, Sashino, what's up, Sasha?
¿Cómo estás?
Sasha Vujicic is
Sasha
with us.
Sasha Vujicic to the show.
It is Machine.
Hey, guys.
One of my favorite guys I've ever covered. And you, Sasha, still live in the South Bay, right?
Yes, I do.
And did you think that would happen when you came over from Slovenia, that you would stay? Or did you think in the back of your mind, I'm coming back?
Today is a big day, right?
Right.
MLK Day. And I had a dream as a kid to go to L.A., win with the Lakers, and stay here forever. So that's what happened.
How about that?
Wow.
How great is that?
That's awesome, man. So I've been told that you have a winery now, or you have a wine, right? Talk about
both,
that.
Actually.
Both, a winery
both.
And a wine?
Both, yeah.
Nice.
They're aligned. They go together.
Yeah. So tell me about your wine.
It was always my dream, my family dream, actually. When we lived in Italy, before I got drafted by the Lakers, second dream was born. And that dream was to have a family winery one day. After the first championship, the reality of kind of capitalizing on it happened. In 2010, we got our winery, our first vintage. And Pops is the winemaker. It's a family affair. And I love what we're doing right now.
Wow, your dad's the winemaker, huh?
He is.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. Amazing family story. Where's the vineyard?
Paso Robles, about 3.5 hours.
Oh, yeah, nice. Paso Robles is fantastic. And great wine there, too.
So I'm watching all these NBA games, Sasha, and I think back to the team you played on. And you guys were legitimately 10 deep. You would take... The 5 guys who would start would not necessarily be the exact same 5 who were out there at the end of the game. Sometimes you were out there. Sometimes Lamar was out there. Sometimes Jordan was out there. Why, looking back, You guys went to the finals 3 years in a row, 08, 09, 10.
We what? Lost in 08.
But you went to the finals 3 years
Still hurts, though.
I know.
Yeah.
I don't blame you, especially the Celtics. But why did that group work? It's rare that you got a team that'll go 10 deep where guys aren't fighting with each other and arguing over minutes. For whatever reason, that group worked. Why?
I think it was the structure. You know, Kobe was our go-to, you know, being my big brother and learning everything from him. We were building a team from 04 when I was drafted.
Right.
Phil came back in 05. And when you have a system, when you have a structure, when you know what you're doing, when you know the direction you want to go to, it just happens naturally. And I think we were probably the last team of understanding that one for all for one.
I agree with that. That may, so if you look back now, everybody's arguing, like now in the modern NBA, everybody's arguing over minutes.
Right.
Everybody's complaining, like, why is that guy playing? Why is he? You guys had none of that. Is that just a unique chemistry? Or some of that fill? What do you think? Why weren't there arguments? I mean, I'm sure there was stuff we didn't know about, but for the most part, you guys were all for one, like you say.
Well, one of the most important things, I think everybody on the team understood that wearing Lakers, you know, purple and gold, it was an honor. And having Kobe being there as the guy that was drafted as our leader, that was basically, he's been to the finals. He was the one that he was mentoring everybody in a
right.
way. I think the most important thing was the understanding of what Phil wanted us to do and the direction we were all going. So when you understand that individual goals have to be mixed up with the team goal and you give up a lot of, you know, when you have like 10 to 15 egos, it's not easy to manage.
Sure.
But when you come to the point where everybody understands what's the common goal, and to kind of take you back to 2010 when we won that last championship, game seven against the Boston Celtics, like the beginning of the season, Phil would always give us kind of preparation or a prepared booklet for the entire year. That year, the motto of it was one breath, one mind. Mm. And if you guys, and I think everybody here remembers very well, we played probably one of the most ugliest games on the planet.
Right, yep. Down 15
we
in the first
horrible.
Half.
Horrible.
Yeah.
But at that particular moment, everybody came together. And
right.
That's what basketball does. You know, when you least expect it, even when you are struggling, your team is going to pick you up. And we picked each other up. We showed what teamwork means. And I'm really honored that I was a part of that that era.
Well, the funniest part of that game seven was when Kobe threw the ball to Meta World Peace.
Yep.
And Meta said, I was in shock. He threw
yes.
me the ball.
Yes.
But he shot it. You know, and there would have been a lot of guys. You saw this earlier in your career, that if Kobe throws you the ball, they throw right back to him because yeah. they would have been too nervous to shoot it. But you guys weren't. You guys were all like, everybody was kind of pulling for each other. And a guy I gave a lot of credit for that you played with that I don't think got the credit he deserved, to me, Sash, and I'm curious if you agree, the glue guy on that team, Kobe was the best player. Powell is an elite Hall of Famer. But I thought Lamar Odom was the conscience of that team, that he was the guy in the locker room that never –
Give it up for LO. Come on, yeah. let's go.
Okay. That never let anybody get too down. He was always, like, trying to pick you guys up. And by the way, I think that's why you guys were so affected when he kind of got off track there for a while and he was fighting for his life, that all you guys were, like, intensely sad until he got better. But I felt like he probably was more to your success than he got credit for. You agree?
100%. You know, he was his nickname was the Candyman because he was just eating sweets before the game. I think what we had was very special. Every team member understood their role on the team. You know, my role was to be on the bench mob and make sure the bench mob was ready and going. LO was the one that was connecting everybody. But I would say that every single individual was a special part of that team because without, you know, Adam Morrison, for example, we would not be able to do what we did because our every practice was to be or not to be. And
right.
when you have that mentality, when you develop that mentality, that's what basketball is all about. So you come to the games, and it just comes automatic. And to go back to that shot that Ron took, Ron was with us for 2 years and when I was there. And he learned throughout the process when to take the right shot. And that shot that he took was the right shot, was a basketball play. So not taking the shot, he was probably have to move to Boston or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody
well, here's a funny story. I don't even think I've ever told you this story. So one day, I was a sideline reporter back then when these guys were winning titles, and I had a seat right next to the bench, and Kobe would come talk to me during when he wasn't in the game. He would, like, lean over to me, and he'd say to me, hold on a second. And whenever Sasha was on the court, he kept just yelling at Sasha to shoot more. Shoot the ball. Shoot the ball. Hey, shoot the ball. And you would go, okay, okay, okay. And then you'd get one and you'd get a little confidence and he would be like, see? You know, so he was like one of your biggest advocates, right?
Well, since day one, he was my big brother. You know, I got drafted in 2004 and we just connected from the get-go. His obsession to be the greatest of all time was incredible. And my obsession to try to be a part of that and to win championships was also unheard of. So I think he liked that. And the way we connected, the way, you know, the things that I've learned from him, I'm carrying on up to this day. And, you know, that's one of the reasons I'm going to give back to basketball at the right time, what I've learned from.
What'd you learn from him more than anything else? When do you hear his voice in your head?
I hear it a lot.
Yeah, I bet.
Now, one of the most important things, you know, for a kid coming from Europe, I was 19, 20 years old. At a very young age, he taught me how to study film. He was a student of the game. And when you have someone like that that understands what basketball brings and what you have to do, how much work you actually have to put in order to get to the point, to think about making the playoffs, to think about winning championships, is incredible. And it's impeccable that, you know, I was so honored that I had that from the very get-go. So I had a little homework every now and then. And if I didn't do homework, he was really mad. So thank God I was, I was a good student, too.
We were talking to Derek Fisher a little bit earlier. He says that when you play for the Lakers, there's an added layer of pressure, that it's out there because you're a Laker. Do you get the same sense?
I mean, Laker Nation, you know, Purple and Gold Nation, the greatest in the country. So, you know, there's a reason why we don't care about getting to the playoffs or individual stats and stuff like that. It's all about winning championships. What Dr. Buss created from the beginning and what, you know, Rob and everybody's carrying on right now is a certain responsibility that you carry not only on the court but also off the court. So Laker fans demand the best, and they demand to see that you give everything you have, and especially your heart, for the team and for the wins.
What's your take on this year's team?
I think they're searching for their identity. I think, you know, we're not at the spot that we would want to be at the moment, 19 and 21. I think next five games will be very important, even though the fifth game is against the Clippers. no, it's home game. I'm not traveling. Yeah. You know, but Clippers are good. I see it as, you know, Rob has always something up his sleeve. And what he did last year with one or two trades, he made the team that was not supposed to be in the playoffs second round.
Made it to the Final Four.
Final Four, exactly. And this year they showed and they proved that they can do something. But when you're searching for identity, it's not easy. It just takes some time. And hopefully next five games will prove something interesting to all of us.
We're going to go let you sign some autographs because a lot of people are waiting for you here. But I want you to take a look. There's a guy here with a picture. And he's holding it up right in front of us. That's the main reason I felt so lucky, Sasha, to be able to cover that team, that 08, 09, 10 team that went to three finals. Look at how happy everybody is there. It was a unique team in that, again, you went 10 deep. You just don't see that anymore. You guys had a whole bench mob that he would put into a game. He would take all five starters out, put you and Farmar and LO and everybody in there, and in sometimes you guys would build on the lead. And I don't even know if we'll ever see that again. But I will say it to you like I've said it to Phil. Thank you for letting me be a part of that ride. I loved it very, very much. And it's great that you're coming down here.
Yeah, thanks for coming out, man.
These guys are really excited to see us.
Thanks for having me, guys. Yeah. It's always a pleasure. Yeah. It's
great
honor
to see you, man.
Thank you.
All right.
Sasha Vujicic. We are live at Ralph's in Redondo Beach, courtesy BBGO, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, we're live from Ralph's in Redondo Beach, along with BBGO.
Hey, this is going to be a quick segment, but let me ask you a question, both of you guys. Pepe's here, too. Max Crosby, Bergman, who's the best player on our Raiders.
Yes, he is.
Has come out and said, if they don't hire Antonio Pierce as the coach, he's going to ask for a trade.
Okay.
Would you factor that into whether or not you're hiring Antonio Pierce?
I think it depends on who else you could get. If you get Jim Harbaugh, let me tell you, Max Crosby's going to stay. I don't care what he says about Antonio Pierce. If Jim Harbaugh's there, he's staying.
Right.
So, but if it's somebody else.
So you call his bluff if you can get a big name on
absolutely. Yeah. But if you can't, I think Antonio Pierce is right because you don't want to have another Khalil Mack situation where you lose fans like you, John, when you lose a player of that caliber.
Now, he's not the only starter player who has come out and said, I want to play for Antonio Pierce.
He's the only starter that you would care enough about that if he left, it would kill the team.
But as a Raiders fan, would you be happy with Antonio Pierce as a head coach? He did guide him to a 4-3 record down the stretch. Not a very good team, but they played okay.
I think if they hire Antonio Pierce, I think we're looking at 8-9, 9-8.
And the players will be happy.
And the players will be happy. The players will play for him.
I don't think Antonio Pierce is you know, the next Mike Tomlin. I don't. But if I wouldn't be furious if they hired him. I mean, I just think it's I almost think it's an easy way out to hire Antonio Pierce.
Greg, you're a Raiders fan. How do you feel about Antonio Pierce?
I want Harbaugh.
I would just say, I wouldn't have a problem with Antonio Pierce. He gets the guys up. He would be a player's coach, just kind of like a Pete Carroll type. So I think he could do a good job. And they were playing for him. Just they got to fix the offense.
Now,
a lot
of players have come out and said we like playing for Antonio Pierce. We want to play for Antonio Pierce. Those guys did play for Antonio Pierce.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it has to be a name like Harbaugh that you get.
Right.
Otherwise, you stick
with
Antonio.
And he's only
going
to get one job.
Right. So if you don't get Harbaugh, if you don't get, maybe if Tomlin goes away and Tomlin wants to come to the Raiders, maybe that happens. But
otherwise, it's Pierce. Do you think Max Crosby stays if they hire Belichick?
No. I don't think Belichick.
I don't think Belichick's in play for the Raiders because Brady's
I don't
a part
so
owner.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That is
yeah. Right. Yeah. That
well, Brady did
that
say he put out a whole post. I would be nothing without you, coach.
Oh, well, I mean, of course you make that post.
Well, you don't have to. You don't have to do it in that way. He said, "I'd be nothing without you."
Yeah, you do the classy thing.
That
right?
was a very
take the high road.
Unless
high
you're
road.
A Chicago Bulls fan, you do.
Then
the
you
classy.
Boo the little old lady.
I really think that Pierce should stay with the Raiders. I think he's going to stay.
Probably.
And Harbaugh is going to go to another team.
If you can, it's really that's it. It's if you can get Harbaugh, cool, great. You do that. If not, you stick with the Pierce.
Right.
I think Harbaugh is going to go to Seattle.
Harbaugh is going to go to Seattle.
See, I agree with that. I think that's a good spot for him. It's somewhere right. that you.
He's going to talk to everybody.
Okay. Here's the one way Harbaugh won't go to Seattle.
It's not the Chargers.
I think it could be the Chargers.
I think it could be the Chargers.
But,
also.
But the Spanish man, but. If Pete Carroll really is staying in the front office, they're not hiring Harbaugh.
Yeah, they don't like each other.
Those guys hate each other.
Yeah, they do. Well, what's your deal?
Harbaugh beat him all the time.
Oh, what's your deal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think Pete's leaving. I think Pete's going to get a job.
Yeah, me too.
Else.
He should. I would take Pete, too, as a head coach for
Pete
the Raiders.
Pete doesn't feel like a Raiders coach. Harbaugh does
again,
feel like
another,
a Raiders coach.
He's
an outlaw.
A guy that's going to get your guys to play for you. He's going to always have a winning record. He's going to be fighting for the playoffs every year.
Who's that?
Pete Carroll.
I don't think he'll go to
he's such a nice guy. He doesn't. I don't think
nice
he'd look
guy.
Good in silver and black.
And not
oh,
only
anybody
that,
looks
I mean,
silver.
That is a weird fit.
It is
right.
When you have a coach, and if he stays in Seattle, and then they bring another coach, he's always going to be second guessing the head coach. No
right,
matter what.
Right.
No matter what.
Sure. Sure. I don't know who gets Harbaugh.
If I had to guess.
Yep.
I know what you're saying, Greg. But I can't imagine the Chargers could be this stupid.
What has shown you otherwise?
I mean,
give me one thing.
Even a blind squirrel finds an acorn once in a while.
I
this
just
is
want
a
one
really
thing the Chargers did right.
He used to coach at the University of San Diego. He used
to
play for the Chargers.
Played yep. for the Chargers.
I mean, are they really going to screw this up?
Again. Tell me one thing they've done right, and I'll agree with
well,
you.
Well, they drafted
Justin Herbert.
Right, and Justin Herbert's the reason it's an attractive
GM
job.
Or is that Dean Spanos?
No, it was Telesco.
Telesco.
And he's gone now.
And he's gone, yeah, exactly.
And the fact that the GM job is open, Harbaugh could bring in somebody that he likes.
Yeah, that's the old Pete Carroll plan. I'll hire the general manager that I want.
Would he be the general manager also?
No. But he would hire somebody that he has a background.
Pete Carroll had hired John Schneider to be the general manager, and that was his guy. So I think that what you do is you give Harbaugh the opportunity. Give him a clean slate. Whatever you want. You pick the general manager. You pick the salary. Basically, write down your number.
Yeah, I hope they're that smart. All right, coming up, we're going to do a little What's Up, Fool.
Yeah.
Get Laura in here, get Brian in here, and we are live at the Ralph's in Redondo Beach with BB Go. The BB Go food truck is here. They Bergman and I are on sampler plate number 3. We got an hour to go. Kevin Reese, you get some BB Go.
Hey, Kevin!
There we go. And coming up, we'll do a little What's Up,
Fool. Yep, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.